It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
You are listening to the Coaching Ignited Show, where we bring you stories and insights from coaches, fitness professionals, and industry experts to help you expand your business and reach your goals. If you're a new listener, thanks for joining us. My name is Alex Povey. You can subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite apps, including Spotify and iTunes. The Coaching Ignited movement is on a mission to help coaches and personal trainers increase their sales and reach their full potential. If you wanted to find out more, please head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted to connect with us on social media, all the details can be found in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show.
On today's episode of the podcast, we've got Ryan Lockhart, the founder of Speciality Athletic Training. And Ryan is doing some awesome work with some individuals with special needs. And this one's really meaningful to me because my brother actually grew up with autism. And Ryan is just creating these safe and fun environments and just making personal training and fitness in general accessible to everyone. So I absolutely love what he does and I would love for you to go check him out as well. So all the details can be found in the show notes to reach out to Ryan. And I want you to sit back, listen to his story, and I hope you enjoy the show too. So today we've got Ryan Lockhart on the show with us. Super grateful for you being here, Ryan. I really appreciate that. Just give people a bit of a backstory into you, where you're based, and yeah, let's just kick it off there.
Yeah, no, awesome. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Love to be on here. And my backstory is, so I'm the founder of Specialty Athletic Training, a personal training gym or facility in Portland, Oregon, based out of Portland, Oregon. But we also train out of 5 facilities in total in Oregon, I guess. I should clarify by saying in the U.S. And so in the Pacific Northwest, we have 5 different facilities out here that we train out of, exclusively training individuals with special needs. Our youngest client's been 3. Our oldest has been 63, with a major emphasis within the intellectual disability population and community. So I'm a certified strength conditioning specialist, as well as a certified special populations specialist through the National Strength and Conditioning Association here in the U.S. And I kind of got started in the field where I was playing football in college, American football, and ended up having a season-ending injury where I tore my ACL and was able to get what's called a medical redshirt. So I was able to have 1 more year of eligibility, and I made sure to left myself 2 credits short of graduation so I could play 1 more year. And at that time, I had a part-time job working with a 13-year-old boy with autism and just saw that the limitations placed on him were unfair. And he was capable of so much more than what they were expecting him to do in PE, and really opened my eyes up to the world of autism and the need within the special needs community. And ended up starting my business in June of 2012. So when my first meeting with my original client, Ben, he's the one that the logo's designed after, who still sees us 4 days a week. He's like a little brother to me. And but I first met him, that would have been 2007. So that was kind of when this whole process got started.
That's an awesome story, man. I love that. And my little brother's autistic as well, actually. So I kind of know what these kids go through as well. It can be quite tough. So you're doing some awesome stuff. I really like that. So how did that turn into what it is today? How did you take that like sort of initial interaction and turn it into the business that you've got?
Yeah, no. So when I first started working with Ben, I was working with him as a one-on-one aide in a school setting. And like I said, I saw that the expectations for him in his gym class were set lower than his peers. And for no apparent reason, physically, he was able to do everything for his, that his classmates were able to do. But there was something else going on. And you know, his classmates would have to run 4 laps around the gym for PE warm-up, and he would only have to run 2. And so I approached the PE teacher and asked him what was going on. And he said, you know, Ryan, like, we're trying to make sure that he's involved with the class, but there's something going on after the 2 laps where he becomes visually agitated. And so I spoke with Ben about it, and he didn't like to run because he didn't like to sweat. And no one ever explained to him why your body sweats. So it freaked him out, right? So the more things that we started doing with him, you know, I would just naturally take him to the gym and go to work out and push him in other ways as far as within the physical realm of things. And he started verbalizing other things. Ryan, my legs, they feel weak. My heart, it feels like it's coming out of my chest. So things kind of, you know, all these sensory things going on that we kind of just take for granted and we just know that are normal, right? No one ever explained to him, and so it freaked him out. So that was really my aha moment. And then I started doing my research and didn't see anything else out there. You know, obviously, Alex, you and I spoke about this before, but, you know, with the rise of social media, it's one of those things where people have been doing a lot of cool stuff all over the place for a long time. But there's no way of, you know, exposing themselves or getting that exposure and really networking, where now it's really easy to see what people are doing by what they're posting on social media wise, and just very easier to stay connected that way. And so started doing my research, didn't really see anything else out there. And I worked with Ben for 1.5 years, and then I had the opportunity to go play American football overseas professionally. And so I played over in France. And when I came back, the guy I had trained didn't work out. And so the family asked me back. So I was doing that and coaching American football at the local college here in Portland. And I had the opportunity to go play in Denmark. So same thing, went over, came back. The guy I trained didn't work out. Family asked me back. And then happened one more time. So then I went to Poland. And right before I went to Poland, I met my now wife and came back. The guy worked out. I was in a serious relationship, so I knew that, you know, playing football over in Europe again probably wasn't the most ideal situation for myself. And I was working I had an interview working for a behavioral center over here, working with kids on the spectrum. And in my interview, they asked me the typical interview question as far as where do you see yourself in 3 to 5 years. And I told them my idea about fitness and how I didn't really see anyone else doing it, and especially in the area. And they said, no, Ryan, we love it. Let us know how we can help. And so I met a mom that was a tutor for kids with ADD and ADHD that used kind of exercise as a means to help her students focus when they needed a study break. And we had coffee. We spoke about my idea. She said, Ryan, I might have a client for you. That client never panned out, but it was enough for me to go home and form the business and start the business. So that was in June 2012. And now we've been in business for over 6 years, have 5 different facilities that we train out of, have worked with over 300 different individuals, like I said before, from ages of 3 to 63, and multiple different diagnoses as well.
Yeah. So is it like, going back to the kid you were talking about, that's Ben, right? Ben's the guy that the one constant that's been there from the start. So it sounds like you guys are a good team because you've kind of done it together. Like, he's helped you get to more people by showing people what you can do and giving you that credibility and trust, right?
You know, it's funny too, where I'll talk to him all the time about it, where I'm like, hey Ben, like, look, like, because he's the logo, so I'll be like, hey Ben, like, what's it feel like to have, you know, yourself on someone else's shirt, you know, because we'll have the logo on their shirt, or we have our, my car has an advertising wrap on it. And Ben, look, like, he's always the first person I tell, like, Ben, look, like, you're on the car. And he's just always not so nonchalant about it. Like, oh, okay. And then he'll go back to doing whatever he does, where, you know, he's never too excited about it. But at the same time, like, he gets pretty stoked about it at different times too.
Awesome. So like, with the trainers that you've got working with you, how did you find those guys? And have you got like a set criteria for them as well? And certain characteristics you look for in trainers that you want to work with?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the trainers that we employ, typically we have a student internship program set up through Lewis and Clark College, where students are able to volunteer and get college credit and get exposure to working with our clientele. And that was a great feeder source for me initially, where my first ever hire was a long-term intern. Actually, one of my newer hires graduated from Lewis and Clark. It was an intern for me during his undergrad, went on to work somewhere else within the community, and then just started working for us again. So that's been a great resource where you're able to kind of feel out, and they're able to get exposure and see if it's something they want to do too. And so the internship program, also, just being around and having that community around the different gyms. We had one of my trainers actually was home on break from college, saw what we were doing, and was intrigued. And then a little later, she reached out and was asking if we, said that she would love to be involved. She'd also played basketball she played basketball at a D1 level, so the highest collegiate level, and then also ended up playing 3 years professionally over in Denmark, and came home and was looking for a job and fell in love with what we were doing. So kind of going back on the characteristics of what we look for, one, someone that's really fitness driven. You have to be passionate about fitness in order to, serve others in the same field. And then also you got to have a huge heart, and you have to have be a great fit with our clients and being in it for the right reasons. And so Emily, she was one of those people. So we started off where she was training for us for a little bit part-time, and while she got the feel of it, and we fell in love with her as well as our clients, and ended up picking her up full-time. And now she's our lead trainer up at our Washington location. Another recent hire was a student intern for us that was from another local college, and she's been great. She started off as an intern, got her feet wet. The internship really gives us a good feel for them as well as vice versa, right? So we get to see how they are as a potential employee, and they can kind of see what we are and see how, if they like what we're doing and if it's for them or not, right? They might be a great intern, but they might realize that they don't want to work with this population full time down the road too, which is okay, and it's not for everyone. But at the same time, it gives them that exposure before actually having a job opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's good for both parties really, isn't it? Because you both get to test the waters and just make sure that it's the right fit for everyone, which is probably the best way to go about it. And I'm very smart, I suppose. It's good for everyone involved. So like just before we jumped on the call, we were talking about like the person that you are now versus the person that you were 5 years ago. So like all the things that you've learned and all the lessons that you've had have changed you and made you a different person, right? You're a different person today. So like looking back, can you draw out some of those changes that have happened or big things that you've noticed over the years that have changed and how you look at things differently now than what you did, say, 5 years ago?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think when I first started, I was always about small picture. I was always trying to think about how I can fill up my schedule with as many training hours as possible to grow the business. And that was going to be the long-term goal, right? Where I would consistently stay busy and be training as much as possible. And, I had a meeting with a local business owner and almost kind of like a mentorship possibility. And the first thing he told me is like, Ryan, down the road, if you want to really scale it, you're going to be the face of the business. You're not going to be coaching football anymore at the college level. You're not going to be training as much. And you're going to have someone work full time. And at that point in my life, I was like, well, I love coaching football. So there's no way I was going to stop doing that. I couldn't afford hiring someone full time. So I didn't see how that was going to be possible. And I love training. So I was going to be training a lot. So now looking back at it, he was spot on, as far as I actually recently took a four-year break from coaching football to focus on the business. And this was my first year coaching at a local high school. We have two full-time employees now and three part-time. And my personal training hours have dramatically decreased. So really looking, I definitely see the larger picture now as far as growth and business-wise. So that's been a huge, a huge learning curve as far as that goes over the past 6 years. The other thing that, you know, you've learned as far as how to just be authentic and be yourself and really communicate and relate with people, that's been a huge learning experience. And, I think a lot of times that people don't understand, like, this is really a people business. You know, if you're not good with people and you're not able to relate with people, then you're not going to be in business very long. You know, you could know everything, you have all the certs, but that doesn't matter to people. You know, there's that saying that people don't care or how much you know until they know about how much you care. And
yeah,
that's been
100%. I totally agree with that. We were speaking about this, weren't we?
We absolutely were. Yeah,
we were talking about it, and I hear the same thing. And I think a lot of people overlook in the coaching industry, and a lot of industries, to be honest, is it comes down to relationships and communication. You've got to be able to communicate what you do in an articulate way, or at least to a degree so that someone can understand it and can hear it. And I see like so many trainers who have got such good qualifications and really good knowledge of the market and health and nutrition, but they don't know how to communicate that. And that's where their business really suffers. And they invest so much time in getting all these qualifications, but then completely neglect the fact that they need to sell that information and they need to learn how to communicate it. And I'm sure you figured that out as you started your journey, that it wasn't just about being the smartest person or knowing everything about the body or health or nutrition. You've got to be able to communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just because you have to take what you know and be able to apply it to a person's life, right? So they might be, you know, we have several clients that, you know, that aren't the healthiest and they have, you know, sensory limitations when it comes to food and things along those lines. So it's like, okay, well, you can have all this health knowledge and what's going to be good and bad for them. And you can tell them, but how is it going to change them? How are you going to be able to change their habits? And how are you going to be able to communicate with them in a way that they're going to want to change their habits and find it important? And how are you going to be able to communicate with them in a way where you're able to set small goals that end up to being, you know, a lot larger impact on them down the road, you know, as they accumulate? And so it's been definitely a huge learning experience. Not only, you know, you also get where not just the client relationship with our own, actually the clients that we work with, but at the same time, their parents. You know, because in a lot of ways, there are clients as well, because they're the ones paying for the services. So, you know, that's two different types of relationships, one with the parents and then another one with the actual client themselves.
Yeah, so you've got the two levels there. You've got to manage two different types of people in that service, right? So that adds an extra level of complexity, I'm sure. So you have to be very good at communicating what you do and the expectations and then managing the actual individuals being trained. So like communication in your business, particularly with all the other trainers involved as well, is surely imperative in this process.
I think that anything that you want to do is going to require a grind, the daily grind. It never really ends. You know, I think that's one of the biggest things that, you know, it's, I don't know if I've learned, it's something that I think that you kind of gets instilled in you with being an athlete. But at the same time, when you start up a business, there's a lot of bumps in that road. You know, I think the stats, something like the first 3 years are, you know, most businesses fail within the first 3 years. And then after that 3 year mark, not saying it's not bumpy, but there's a lot more ups instead of the ups and downs. And so being able to, you know, believe in myself where I know I was doing the right thing. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times, like self-doubt came into play, especially early on. You know, I remember, you know, not knowing if I was gonna have enough money to pay rent, you know, and that's only when I had to take care of myself. I didn't have a family then. And so even not being able to pay rent and have to ask my fiance at the time, be like, hey, Mike, I might need for you to spot me. I'll get you back on, you know, next month for sure. But I just don't know when the cash flow is gonna come in. And so really being able to believe myself and, you know, you lose a client, especially early on, and you know exactly where that money was coming from, right? You know the dollar amount that person was to you. And on a business standpoint, you know, that's killer. And so you got to be able to push through that and figure out how, you know, where your next client's going to come from and make sure that you're staying positive and upbeat and believing that's going to come through. But at the same time, you can't just have the belief, right? You can't just believe everything's going to happen for a reason. You got to be putting in the work to make sure that you're believing in something that's valid. You know, if you just believe that something's going to take care of itself and you're not putting the work in behind it, you know, you're just making yourself a bunch of empty promises. So
yeah, it's really kind of just like process. Just kind of like the mindset, but not the action. Like, it's great on the mindset to do it, but if you're not prepared to put in the action, then you ain't gonna get any results. It goes back to David Goggins that we've both listened to and spoke about. He's all about taking action. It's not about this woo-woo mindset stuff. It's about actually physical action. Just do it, and if you do it repeatedly, you'll get results.
Absolutely.
And I just wish that they can appear.
Yeah. And I think we're in such a interesting time, you know, in society where a lot of people want that instant gratification. And, you know, if you really want to branch out and work for yourself and do things the right way, there's no such thing as instant gratification. You know, I think it's years and years and years of work to get to the point that you want to be. And, you know, if you were to ask me 6 years ago, if I thought I'd be in the place that I am today, there's no way. There's no way that I thought we would be able to have 5 different facilities that we're training out of, you know, serving over 300 different individuals and having the impact that we're having on our community. I would have been happy if we were training a full 40 hours a week, you know, where I didn't have any employees and it was just myself staying busy. You know, I would have, if you asked me 6 years ago, that would have been something I've been extremely happy about. Where now I'm like, okay, like how can we take this at an even bigger scale now compared to where we're at?
That's interesting to me. Like, obviously you're 5 years ahead, but year one, how did you have kind of the discipline to go, actually, this is going to take longer than I thought? And how did you break it down? And how did you know that you were moving in the right direction? Like, what were the indicators? What were you looking for? What were you... like, okay, I need to get to this milestone in year one, then I need to go to this point. Because you'd never done it before. How did you see the path and keep going? Because obviously I've struggled with this, and I know a lot of other people have struggled with this before. When you can't see where you're going necessarily, you don't know what the path is, or you don't have a clear map, it's very difficult to avoid the instant gratification because you don't know when you're going to get gratification, if that makes sense. So what were those things for you? What were the milestones? What were those indicators that you were looking out for along the way?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, and I honestly almost fell into that instant gratification piece myself, where I had an opportunity to take a full-time coaching position, coaching American football at the college I was coaching at. And that was at the very beginning stages of this business. And I immediately saw the dollar amount dramatically increase. Right. And, you know, but the head coach at the time was like, Ryan, like the position is yours, but I can't be the one telling you that you can't be training a client because I need you in a meeting. So he's like, you know, in order for you to do it, like you're not going to be able to do both. And I couldn't thank him enough for telling me that looking back at it. Cause you know, when I first heard that, I was like, no, there's a way I can do both. I might be grinding it out even more than I am now, but I could do both. And there really was no way for me to do both. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like we were talking about, like it's a process. It's a process. So you have to set goals. You have to set small goals. You know, I relied on, you know, I wasn't a business major. I had no business background, like we've talked about. And so, but I have friends that are, right? So you got to use your resources. So I had a lot of friends that graduated from the same college that I played football with and that were in business. And so I relied on them and they were doing well in business. And they helped me put together my, you know, my profit and loss sheet and my, my forecast and stuff like that. And so just, you know, so as you continue to grow, you obviously see the financial aspect, right? Where you see those numbers increasing. So you kind of know you're on the right path as far as that goes. I think the other part that I knew I was at least doing something right, whether or not it was growing as fast as I thought it should, or as fast as I wanted it to. But hearing the stories outside of the gym, as far as how you're impacting families, you know, I think that working out will take care of itself, right? If you're coming in consistently, putting in the work, you're going to notice the benefits physically. You're going to notice the benefits as far as mentally and how you're feeling. But hearing the other stories as far as like how a client was able to walk up and take the bus independently for the first time to school, or how they were holding their families accountable and going on walks for the first time ever as families and taking the dogs for walks and, you know, looking at their Fitbits and tracking how many steps they were getting each day and becoming intrinsically motivated to get them in. I think that was the huge part as far as, you know what, like, we're doing something special here and we're on the right track. So numbers aside, you know, obviously seeing the numbers grow, that was definitely, you know, from a business side, you know, knowing you're on the right track, but hearing those other stories as far as how you're impacting people's lives, you're like, okay, we got to keep going. Because if we don't, who else is doing it? You know, how else are we able to have that impact if we're not the ones doing it? So that also kept us motivated. You know, I want to help as many people as possible. And I always tell the parents that my ultimate job is to work ourselves out of a job, right? Like, I want a client to come in, train with us, and then build the skill set and the self-confidence where they feel confident to go work out at a gym, at a general gym by themselves or with their families, or, you know, feel confident enough to take the PE class and do well in it and know how to do all the movements and feel confident enough to take a weight training class. You know, I think as far as just pointing it out, as far as, you know, how we know we're on the right track, right, business-wise, yeah, the numbers definitely help. And, you know, knowing that, okay, like if we hit this mark, then we know we can bring someone else on to make even a bigger impact, right? So I think just as a business, you have to be, finances have to drive it to some regard, no matter what your mission is. But I think the mission overall and the vision, you know, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you wanting to grind it out and continue to grow to serve as many people as possible.
Yeah. Mission, man, it's important. Like, that bigger purpose or that higher goal that's outside of yourself, I think is like a big motivator, knowing that you're not just doing it for you and there's other people that are going to directly benefit from what you're doing is big, right? How can you take what you're doing to the next level, and what are your kind of dreams with this? Where do you want to take it?
There's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different avenues. You know, we have people that ask if I ever dream of or think of opening up my own facility as far as my own gym. Because like how we talked about before, I don't actually own a facility where we kind of go into already existing gyms and train our clients within the already set up and include our clientele within their community. I really don't have any aspirations of actually opening up my own facility per se in that regard. But I do want to make a larger impact than just locally, right? I think that we're doing a great job in the local community where we're at, and we're continually, you know, slowly being able to grow within our state and the surrounding areas. But that's not how we're going to have the biggest impact. You know, the one thing I'm looking at now is, you know, doing things like this, doing podcasts and getting the word out about what we're doing and trying to help inspire and motivate others to do the same. You know, whether that's in the UK or other places in the US. And you see a lot more people doing that kind of stuff around, you know, especially like I said before on social media, you see a lot more people trying to work with this population, not just on a national basis here within the US, but on an international basis as well. And so that's always cool to see. But, you know, the biggest thing is really doing, how do I see myself growing and the company growing, continue to grow locally, but at the same time doing more presentations about what we're doing and education and educating other trainers. So really training the trainers is going to have the largest impact, and, you know, going to conferences and speaking at those and consulting other trainers when they want to start up a business and really helping people out that way is really how I see us continuing to grow and make a larger impact.
So is there like an opportunity for you to maybe like help other people set up these type of operations or services, kind of like a franchisee, or where you could provide them with like a starter pack of this is how you get started, these are some of the things that you need to look at and make sure that are present in this type of business to give the right service? Is there an opportunity to grow that type of business alongside the one that you've currently got?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's been the biggest thing that's really come to my attention this past year, especially this past 2018. It's just that opportunity itself that you just mentioned. As far as we've had several people reach out, and you know, actually, I just got off a phone call this morning with a guy over in Boston, Massachusetts, that's looking at doing something similar. And we were talking about different ways and best practices and ways to get started. And you know, we continually get emails and direct messages on Instagram about from people saying that they want to get started or they have a similar idea on how to go about it. So that's definitely something that I'm always open to speaking with people, you know, and sharing my story and talking about what's worked for me. But it's definitely something that's something I'm looking at doing and in the works of actually putting together right now, as far as, you know, like that starter pack that you talked about, like, okay, here's the steps of starting up a business to serve this community.
Yeah, even like a workshop that you could create. It could even be like a live webinar where you get all these different organizations and trainers and communities to log in, and maybe you do like a little workshop, and you just talk to people about your business. Use that as a case study, and then at the end, if they want more info or they want more help in sort of taking it to the next level, then you can create maybe partnerships or relationships or connect people in the community that you think would be able to help them do it. I mean, surely there's all kinds of avenues you could take that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I think that that's a huge opportunity. I'm starting to get more involved with, like I said, the NSCA over here in the US. So I see us growing that route a lot more, being able to do more presentations and more workshops along those lines. But yeah, I mean, Alex, let's set something up. Let's get me to the UK and we'll do a workshop out there too.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Cause I love what you're doing, and I think it's great. Like, and if you can reach more people doing it, it's just about creating those relationships and connections with the right people who have the same sort of mission as you, right? There's gonna be tons of people out there that are gonna wanna help in this sort of area. And it's just about creating those connections, I think, finding the right people and then grouping together and creating like a network of people, and maybe creating like a body, like an official body. Have you got something like that set up already, where you've got like an organization or like an umbrella that people could communicate or network under? That might be an option.
There's not currently. And that's kind of something that, you know, listening to you previously and listen to a couple of the other podcasts, that's something that got my, you know, my brain going a little bit as far as thinking about how to create that network and how to use our social media platforms in that regard and to help reach others as well in that aspect.
Yeah, I think making it sort of official and having like a body or an organization. Maybe what you've got currently, you've got that branding that you've got already that you could just expand on, but you want a place like, I would say, some key people on maybe a board or something of that nature, some key decision makers that can bring different elements to the business, just like a board of directors for any big company, right? You're on it, you've got other people on it in different locations or different countries, but together you can make bigger decisions rather than you trying to operate on your own. I think that's probably something good to look at.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So what's next? What's next with the business in 2019? What are you working on? And then what are the goals that you've got?
Yeah, no, so 2019 is actually going to be a big year. So like we previously talked about, I just opened up. We just started training out in Central Oregon, which is about 3 hours away from where I currently live. And so I've been driving, making that commute each weekend. Every Sunday is usually a day trip where I go out there, wake up super early, drive out, train our clients out there, and then drive back. So continue to look at growing that. There's a lot of possibilities out there. I think that location has a lot of possibilities, a lot of opportunity. So really focusing on growing that, along with the other local, more local facilities that we have. So really you know, just continue to serve and give back to the community in that regard. And also, how, like I mentioned before, being more involved with the association here, the NSCA. So I'm actually speaking at a clinic in March, the state clinic in March, and going forward with that. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the big stuff going on that we have set up for 2019. And like I, you know, and also putting together that starter pack and talking about talking to more people looking to start up a company similar to what we're doing, and seeing how we can best serve them as well.
Awesome, man. Absolutely love that. So, like, any words for anyone listening to this that is thinking about getting into what you're doing, because you're doing some great stuff over in the States. Maybe they're over in the UK and they're thinking about getting into the same sort of area, the same sort of niche as you. What would be your advice to them, and what should they do next?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is to volunteer. Like we talked about before, volunteer for those nonprofits serving the population that you're looking to work with. You know, one, it provides a networking opportunity that you can't describe, right? So people, if you're able to do that before you're actually, you know, starting your business, and people know that you're in it for the right reasons, and they're able to put a face to the name before you even start, that's going to definitely help. Along with giving you more exposure and more experience with that population, you know, make sure that you get your certifications ahead of time too, to make sure that you're credible. And so when you go to speak to another professional to get for as a referral source, that you have that behind your name as well. But just do it. I think people spend too much time thinking about it. But if you're passionate about it and it's something that you want to do, go for it. You know, life's too short to, you know, you don't want to live and at the end of your life have any regrets. So, you know, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. But at least you always gave it a shot.
Yeah, definitely, man. Couldn't agree more. I'm going to put some links over to your sites and social media just so people can find you. But if someone wanted to check you out, or where are you most active, or how can they get in touch with you, and if anyone wants to speak to you about this subject?
Yeah, I mean, they could. There's a couple ways. I mean, they can always visit our website, which is just specialtyathletictraining.com. They could check us out on Facebook or Instagram at Specialty Athletic Training, or they can even get a hold of me directly on my Instagram, which is just at rlockard as well.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. So if anyone wants to check it out or get in any more information, please reach out to Ryan. He's doing absolutely great work. Want to thank you so much for being on the show, buddy. I really appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. I hope you have an awesome 2019. And if you're ever over in the UK, we need to meet up.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, dude. We'll leave it there. And thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Awesome. You too, Alex.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, guys. If you did, head over to your favorite app and leave us a short review. I'd really appreciate that. And if you wanted to learn more about our products and services, head over to coachingignited.com. And if you wanted an awesome website built for your coaching business, head over to our partner company, savectormedia.com. That's all from me. See you soon.